Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our worship service for August the 2nd. We have some bulletins being printed. They'll be over here for some of you to get a copy of. But Jim will be bringing those just shortly. For those of you online, welcome and thank you for joining us this morning. Only announcements that I have ongoing is we will have our church council meeting next Sunday. In person, and we'll do it either here in the sanctuary right after church, or we'll adjourn to the fellowship hall, but either way, we'll keep our social distancing and our masks. I kind of like this setting just to give us extra space. So plan on being here for those of you that can make it next week for our church council meeting. That'll be on the 8th, right after service, so right around 12 o'clock we'll get started. The other thing I want to mention is we still have our Bible study on Wednesdays evenings at 7. We're still doing just the one joint one through Zoom. So if you're interested in joining back with us and you can do that with us, we're doing using Zoom. You can call in or you can use your computer. Either one, let me know. I'll send you the invite information. You guys as well, just let me know. You can put it in the comments here that you want that, or you can put it in an email form to me at pastordavid@att.net, and I will get you the invite add you to the invite, meeting invite. As far as birthdays, Friday was Patricia and Thelma's birthday, so if you missed that, go ahead and say happy birthday to them. I think we sang to Patricia last week, but Thelma we missed. And then this week we have Cindy Bigger's birthday's coming up this week, right, Jim? Oh, today? Oh, excellent. So today, Cindy, you're not with us live, but if you're watching us streaming, happy birthday to you. And for those of you that know Cindy, make sure you reach out to her this afternoon and tell her how much we appreciate her, and congratulations on another birthday. Anything else that I'm forgetting? Mm-hmm. Nothing else? Kim, nothing? Okay. Well, let's begin our worship service with our centering words, and if you'll stand for that and join me in our call to worship when we move into that section, please stand as you're able and join me. In our darkest hours, God's light continues to shine. In our weariest moments, God's strength is enough. In our times of greatest isolation, God's presence is always near. Come, all who are weary. Christ strengthens us with love and grace. In this strength, we can do all things. We are here, ready to receive God's blessings. You may be seated. Our Old Testament reading or lesson comes from Genesis 32, verses 22 through 31. It's the story of Jacob wrestling at Peniel. So, again, 32:22 through 31, please follow along in your pew Bibles. Well, I guess we don't have our pew Bibles. Follow along on your phones, and those of you at home, you can follow along with your Bible. The same night he got up and took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and likewise everything that he had. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint, and he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. The word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God indeed. If you'll stand for our opening prayer and join us online as we begin our worship service with our opening prayer. Mighty God, pour out your power and strength on us. Grant us the nourishment we need to receive your word. May your presence fill our lives and carry us forth, preparing us to be your people and equipping us to do your work in the world. In your holy name we pray. Amen. And continue with our affirmation of faith. The Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And our Gloria Patri.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Amen. And you may be seated for our epistle reading. From Romans 9, verses 1 through 5. Romans 9, verses 1 through 5. I'll be reading from the NRSV as I did with Genesis as well. I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it by the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my own people, but my kindred, according to the flesh. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, and the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from them, according to the flesh, comes the Messiah, who is over all. God blesses forever. Amen. The word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God. And Kim's coming to give our children's message.
Hello, good morning. Today I just wanted to share with everyone about back to school, and that I know if you've been to the store lately, some of you might not have been, they're starting to put out all the back to school supplies and the backpacks, and we're just trying to think about in this new situation how that looks. But you know, there's one supply that I want you guys to think about that you always have with you, and that would be your faith, your love of God, and the importance of having that in your toolkit every day as you go to school. So yes, you need books, and yes, you need folders and papers and pens, but it's also important to us, even as adults, as we go to work every day, to think of it as an actual supply that we need every morning as we get up. You know, I have God's love today. I'm going to put that in my backpack. And I'm going to have the strength and armor of God to defend what I know is right, and I'm going to put that in my backpack. And just remember that these are important things to carry with you every day, and make sure that you have an inventory before you leave the house. I know when my kids leave, I say, do you have your shoes? Do you have your umbrella? Do you have your lunch? And all those things. And we need to add one more thing to that, and that's God. Is God with me today as I go to school? So let's think about that as we get our supplies ready, to know that, you know what, there's one more supply that we need to make sure that we have every day this upcoming school year, and that's that God is with us. So let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for all the opportunities that you have for us to learn and grow, meet new friends, and just expand on everything that we have from you. Help us this week and this upcoming month to prepare in a way that honors and respects you, everything that you want us to know and everyone that you want us to be. Help us to have you as one of our supplies as we head back to school or work or everywhere we need to go this fall. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Ms. Kim. As she is returning to her place of worship, I invite you to open your Bibles again, and we will have our scripture for the day. Where the passage or the message comes from today is from Matthew. It is Matthew 14, 13 through 21. If you'd like to open your Bibles and follow along. Matthew 14, 13 through 21. Chapter 14, 13 through 21. Hear the word of God. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from them from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but five loaves and two fish." And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled, and they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. The word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God indeed. This week's passage is one that I think for most of us should be one that is pretty familiar for you listening online and for those here present with us. It's one that we probably heard in Vacation Bible School a couple different times growing up, in our Sunday school classes as we were growing up, if you were raised in the church. If you weren't, it's probably something that you're still familiar with, because it's one of those miracle stories that even though you may not be familiar with the Bible so much or the gospel stories, you do over or just through our culture hear about those miracles or those miraculous things that Jesus did from time to time. And this is one of those things that I think is far beyond just the Gospels. In fact, it's important to our very nature as Christians, and very important to those early Christians, because it was documented not only in Matthew but also in Mark, Luke, and John, and in fact they added another Matthew and Mark actually add another story of feeding the 4,000, which is just another version of this same miraculous story of taking the minimal resources of men and multiplying them for the crowds. And so it has to have some importance to us, some importance to who we are, and some things that we can surely consider to application in our own lives today. The elements of this telling of the story places it right after the death of John the Baptist by King Herod in Matthew. That's how it, the context is and how it reads. And so in that very few, that passage right before this one, the first part of chapter 14, we hear of John the Baptist's death by King Herod. And upon hearing that news, as it's told to him by his disciples, Jesus withdraws by boat to a deserted place to be alone. Yet the crowds, they hear that, and they follow along on land from town to town. And upon coming back to shore, Jesus sees the great crowd of people and has compassion for them. He heals their sick, and although he is in need of that downtime, right, that time to recharge, that time to reflect on what has occurred, he extends his time in the present moment, not just to feed the crowds, I mean to heal the crowds, but to feed them as well. The evening comes, and the disciples are the ones who kind of bring the logic, right, the reality of the situation. Hey, we're in the middle of nowhere here, and we have a lot of people that need to eat. We need to send them away so that they can go and find food in the villages and they can purchase their own food and take care of themselves. And Jesus responds to them as we would expect him to, maybe or maybe we wouldn't, but he says to them, hey, they need not go away. You give them something to eat. That's from verse 16. And the narrative continues with the actual miracle event, right? It goes right into that. It says, with only 5 loaves and 2 fish, Jesus looks to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and to be distributed, right? He hands them to the disciples. The disciples then in turn distribute it amongst the people, where we see there is an abundance though, right? Jesus, or God, doesn't just answer with what's just enough here as far as the feeding is concerned, but God gives more than what is enough. And there's plenty of food left over even after all the people have eaten and are satisfied. And I guess the question I had for myself as I read through the scripture and I was thinking about what we could possibly glean from this story that may be, like I said, very familiar to many of us, is it really just about the abundance of God's blessing to us? Yeah, that's a very big part of it. But there's also this thought where I think that we can look back in our lives and have found ourselves at that point where Jesus might have been in those moments, right? Just trying to deal with the loss of a loved one, trying to deal with the pressures of earthly ministry, trying to deal with being this kingdom of God for all those that were in such great need. And he gets this mass this news that really calls him to take some time to go back to the source, right? To spend some time reflecting on God and that relationship Jesus has. Your unique relationship Jesus had with God, being fully divine and fully human. And even in his humanness, though, he needed that moment or those moments to recharge and be able to continue to serve those crowds. And so he withdraws, and at that time, I think for us, we get that feeling ourselves, right? It doesn't take much of our imagination to think about where Jesus might have been and have empathy for him. Or for those that we know that are going through those busy times in their life, right? That when we need those moments to clear our head and just really just kind of have some downtime. I talked about this with regard to COVID and this pandemic and the self-quarantining that we're all experiencing. The fact that now that we are in public and we're wearing masks, speaks to the ongoing steps that we're all taking to kind of protect one another. But if you're like us in our home, it's 1,800 square feet roughly, and it's not enough room after now 5 months almost of seeing the same four faces every day, almost every minute of every day. There is a certain level of stress that comes with that, right? I'm an extrovert, so being around other people helps me. But my wife, being introverted, she recharges in times where she could be alone, right? It's not that she can't be around us. She loves us dearly. But her recharging time and her time to kind of replenish her own resources and her ability to continue to be a part of the family or serve those in our communities requires a certain level of alone time. And right now, we just don't have that, right? It can get a bit uncomfortable. We can get a little nippy with each other. And to be honest with you, more than anything, I think we're all just getting a little stir crazy in our house. And we're wanting to kind of get out and do other things and see other people. And we're not even dealing with the loss of a loved one, as our story, our passage talks about. But many of you out there are. Some of you we know have lost loved ones during this time. And yet, you can't come together in community, and you can't come together safely, and so you're left isolated. And Jesus was looking for that moment of isolation, that moment of self-isolation, where he could kind of compartmentalize, I think, what was going on in those moments and deal with those feelings he was having. Wesley puts it like this. Wesley says, the fact that Jesus wants to withdraw in the narrative speaks to the closer connection that's not described in the gospel story between he and John, the cousins that they are, right? They were familial in the human sense and familial again in the sense that they were part of God's family. And so they were much closer than we kind of see in that's described in the gospel stories. And so he is taking a moment, or needs that moment, to really be able to kind of finish out those feelings and then move forward with serving others. But when he comes ashore, he's greeted by those crowds. Those crowds who need him in that immediate moment, and Jesus responds with compassion. He takes the time that they need instead of the time he needs. Right? And I was thinking to myself, for myself anyway, am I there yet? And I question you guys the same. Are we there yet? As Christians, as people of faith, do we respond like Jesus does to the needs of the crowds? I think many of us do at times, and I imagine it's not too hard for us to think of some examples where we've done all those things, tried to be there for others and set aside what might be we are dealing with personally, right, so that we can meet the needs or serve others. And that's wonderful, but, you know, to do it every time that Jesus does, right? Jesus has this innate ability to change what's going on in the previous narrative, right, with Herod and John the Baptist and the kind of feast that Herod's, the king of, you know, the King Herod was throwing at that time, and then has John beheaded, compared to what feast that that Jesus provides for those crowds, right? It's completely different things, and yet the way Matthew puts it together, we see this, and we can compare it to what's going on now in our passage today. And we have this, really this conflicting views of what kind of person and leadership that Jesus is, and the kind of leadership and people we need to be as followers of Jesus, right, as followers of Christ, compared to what the world might respond to and how they respond. And that's where, you know, we're invited to kind of think about our own responses. Are we responding like the world, or are we responding like followers of Christ? And in that response, I think we see another side of how we could be, right? So Jesus responds one way. He has compassion. He heals them. And then we also see the response of the disciples, right? That logic comes back in. That reality check kind of sets in. And they come over to Jesus and say, hey, it's getting late. Party's over kind of thing. Maybe we need to send these folks home. And you know, Jesus' response I go back to that. He just tells them, I say Jesus, but really God has a different response, right? This is this sense where God's now inviting those disciples to become a part of the ministry. God says, they need not go away, that you give them something to eat. And just like that, they were called, and like we are called, to become active members or active participants in the mission of the church. We too are called beyond to go beyond just what the response is or that immediate need. Many times the immediate need of those who come to us or come to our churches or even we meet on the street, that immediate need is only the temporary fix. The long-term ministry to those folks to get them back on their feet, to get them to a place where they are even self-sufficient again. That's the piece that really becomes that ongoing response that Jesus provides, right? So he cures their ailments and then returns or continues by providing for their need of nourishment, sustaining. And this is where the disciples come in and look to be called upon to respond, right? They're called to respond as Christ does. And I think here what's important is we are called to go beyond just like this, and when we're responding to the crowd. And we're also called to, like Jesus, look to heaven, right? So when Jesus takes the loaves and the fish, he looks to heaven, blesses, and then distributes, right? And then gives. He breaks them and then gives them. So there's this thought where we need to think about that source of all things for us as well is God, right? So when we have this opportunity to serve in and of ourselves, we need to be looking for how can I cooperate to participate, right, in the ministry of the church or the mission of the church, the activities of the church. And we need to ask ourselves, what can God do with our mere human efforts? You know, the disciples brought to Jesus what they had, 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus takes that and he goes to God and, well, I mean, there's the miracle comes in the amount of what is provided after that. And what can God do with the minimal resources that we have of time, of money or property that we may have been given to be stewards of? And I question ourselves, and I question us to think about, are we limiting God by holding back our own efforts? Perhaps we are. But I want us to think about what we see in our passage today, right? We see this God of abundance, this God that of infinite power, sustaining power, God that supports Jesus in the moments that he has with the crowds. God also sustains the disciples to participate as they distribute the food. The abundance of food that God provides. We also, you know, see this, that abundance is coming from that small offering that the disciples bring forth, right? The 5 loaves and 2 fish. And the abundance comes from that offering. God uses what is provided and turns it into more than enough to satisfy the hunger of the crowd. Perhaps the miracle we see here is the crowds were filled and satisfied. The real miracle aspect of the story for the modern reader could be the satisfaction that the crowd has experienced, right? We find satisfaction so hard to come by these days, I think. As I was alluding to in our own self-quarantine moments, Kim and I would often say things like, well, I wish we had more time with the kids. And then we get more time with the kids, and I'm like, well, I wish I had more time with my friends. You know, there's always something else that's, once you get what you ask for kind of thing, that now we want to direct our attention to something else. Yet here in this story, in this miracle narrative, we see that the crowds have experienced satisfaction. So much so that there is an abundance of what is left over, right? The broken pieces that they still filled 12 baskets. For us, though, there never seems to be enough until there is way too much. But that's not for all, right? There are some that seem to receive more than enough, and others that still are in need of resources, whether that is food, shelter, clothing, maybe more at the forefront of our political or I shouldn't say political, but of our news cycle, more at the forefront of that. What's going on in our country is that social injustice, right? There are those that are on the losing end of that social injustice for decades and generations. And that is kind of what we see in our news cycles now, where these movements are coming about and maybe hopefully coming to now what would we consider full circle as we really look at how we can change as a society to support all people. Right? I think our community, you know, what I want to ask is, do our communities today, I don't feel that they reflect the love and grace that we receive freely from God. And I challenge you to think if they do, and tell me that they do. I don't think they always do. I think there's glimmers of that. But I think maybe the more important question that we can ask, or even try to get the answer, is can they? Can they truly reflect that grace and love we receive? Can our communities look like that? Can they be that? Now is the time of this, that we're in this sheltering and staying safe, that this is the time that we may be looking for what the next great challenge may be for us, right? And how are we going to serve others in the season to come? There'll be a time of this sheltering will kind of end, and we will have to, as a society and as communities, look for ways that we can now come back together safely, respectfully, and do it in a way that allows us to become better followers of Christ, better reflections of Christ. And while we are here in this time of I would almost consider it some downtime, as crazy as it may be, while we're here and we find ourselves with this opportunity to reflect as a church, as a body of believers, you know, I want us to think about what we can do to prepare to meet those challenges to come. One example I always bring up and I think about is our food pantry, when we think about how we have this ongoing ministry to this community. You know, years ago when you started the food pantry, before I was even here, there was a real need for that. This community was underserved in a way to give folks something to eat, those who needed that little bit of help to get from one month to the next or one week to the next, with regard to being able to feed and provide for their families. And we still have some of that. But over the last few years that I've been here, there's kind of been this influx of other avenues for people to do the same thing. We're receiving benefit from that. We're now able to add fresh produce to our monthly giving in a lot of cases. That wasn't the case before. I mean, it's almost you have to really work in this community now to go hungry, I think. There's always some place you can go and find some help and some assistance, especially when it comes to food. And what a blessing that is. So if we think about where that has come over the last 10 years or so, you've been involved in that ministry to this community, what's that next challenge that we might need to rise up to? Is it in expanding the food pantry? Is it expanding forums for social justice here in our community? Is it expanding how we serve those in our community, or maybe the communities surrounding him? How do we go further and beyond? Where's God calling us to become this new avenue for people, this new pathway for people to experience that grace that we've experienced, that love that we have? I think that's how we need to think about in this downtime, how we grow and continue to meet the needs of the community. The community within our congregation, as well as what surrounds our congregation. That community around that we are part of. And now is this time that God has given us, as busy and as crazy as it may seem, to begin the conversations of what comes next. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I sure miss Anne right now. This is the moment where I'd say our hymn of response is, and we would get to sing a song, but we're going to table the song till a little bit later. We're going to go into pastoral prayer time. And this is a time where if you have an opportunity online, submit your prayer concerns on the comments, and we will add them to our weekly list and prayer concerns and needs and lift those up as we go. I keep a list of for Becker Church as well as First Kemp. And over the last couple of months, as we've been kind of doing everything combined. Some of the list at the bottom has become the same on both sides, but some of them, you know, at the beginning, I if you look at the top of the lists, you know, there are still the unique names on each of those that we still lift up and pray for. But if you have updates on either of those lists, please let me know, and I can make those updates throughout the week and get those updated. We can add names, we can remove names. But I think I've gotten all the updates from this past week from both the Facebook feed as well as comments anyway, as well as what we had in the sanctuary last week. So if this week, if you have new prayer concerns that you'd like to lift up, please, at this time, we're open. The floor is open, I should say. No? Any joys anybody would like to lift up? Yes, Deb?
My daughter sent me a cute picture of my granddaughter that turned 3 and a Minnie Mouse shirt, and her cake, pink cake with a Minnie Mouse on it. So they used to have it with parents, and then the kids at the park it looked like. So we have to celebrate in smaller forms.
All right, well, we have to recognize those milestones. What's her name?
Joey. So I was glad that even though her parents are struggling right now, they made it a happy
case. Definitely. Any other joys you'd like to lift up? Well, let's bow for a word of prayer then. And we, like I said, we have the updates. If you have any that you want to send in, please do so either in our comments or send them to me directly at Pastor David at att.net, and I will include them in our list. You can also text me those at my phone number, which I don't know if you have it, but it's 972-935-3874, and I will make sure I get those updated as well. So any way you can get a hold of me, through the website, through my email, through my text, I will gladly do what I can to make sure your names are listed and your joys are also lifted up. Let's bow for a word. Heavenly Father, we come to you today, we say thank you. We say thank you for so many things, so many opportunities that you give us to be your disciples, Lord, to be those that you have called and set apart for the purpose of being a part of your family. So, Father, we say thank you for that. We say thank you for the weather that we've had of late with some rain to help offset some of the heat. Lord, we just know that there are so many things in each and every day that you do and you provide in creation that allows us to have the lives that we have. And we're so very thankful. Lord, we say at this time that we are thankful for this opportunity to even be here in ministry right now with prayer, that we can come to you directly through our conduit being the Holy Spirit that lives within us, that gift you have given through your Son, Christ Jesus. Lord, all these things that we are able to do that we may take for granted, we are thankful for in this moment. That we are here and able to say yes to you and say yes to these names as we lift them up to you. New names, new families, new concerns, also new joys. Father, we thank you for all these things. Father, we also ask that you continue to work through us, that you continue to help us be changed, help us be transformed, that we may be the hands and feet for those names that are listed here, that we may participate in the ministries of this church in a real and physical way. Whatever we can do, help us to say yes to those things, Lord. We just ask that in your Son, Christ Jesus' name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And our time with tithes and offerings, if you are here in the sanctuary, we have our plates at the back, so if you drop that in there as you came in, that's wonderful. There was our bucket was down there as well. For those of you online, please continue to send in your gifts and your offerings to our P.O. boxes. Becker is at P.O. Box 92 in Kemp, Texas, 75143. And First Kemp here at First Kemp is also in the P.O. Box at 327, P.O. Box 327 here at Kemp, 75143. And then we also have a PayPal account set up for First UMC Kemp at gmail.com. First UMC Kemp, or excuse me, FUMC, not first. FUMC Kemp at gmail.com is for our PayPal, for those of you who want to give online or electronically. Let's bow for a word of prayer and ask God to bless the gifts that we return, that offering that He will take and do such great things of abundance. So, Father, we come to you today. We say thank you. We say thank you for this opportunity that we have to give back. To give back just such a small portion of what you have given to us so abundantly. Father, these portions, these small pieces, these pieces of loaves that are left over, if you will, that get gathered back up. Lord, we just ask that they come together and that they are used for your great works. Lord, that people may come to know you in a new way, that we may be a part of that ministry, either locally or beyond, through our connection in the United Methodist Church. Father, we ask all these things in your Son, Christ Jesus' name. Amen. We'll sing our doxology as Jim brings up the offerings that are here. And then we will sing our hymn. And then we will adjourn with our benediction. So please stand as you're able and join me in our doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And our hymn for today, as we will continue our tries at a cappella, we are getting better, I think. This is one I hope everybody's familiar with. It's Let Us Break Bread Together. It kind of goes with what I was hoping to be a part of our return to having communion together. But unfortunately, I just do not have a way of doing that right now. But we will get to it where we can do it safely. But this is a wonderful hymn. I hope you guys know it. We'll sing the first three verses, and then we will, and then we'll go on to the next. So one, two, okay. Let us break bread together on our knees. Let us break bread together on our knees. When I fall face to the rising sun, O Lord, have mercy on me. Let us drink wine together on our knees. Let us drink wine together on our knees. When I fall on my knees my face to the rising sun, O Lord, have mercy on me. Let us praise God together on our knees. Let us praise God together on our knees. When I fall on my knees with my face to the rising sun, O Lord, have mercy on me. Amen. And our benediction. As we have received the light, we go now to bring light to the world. As we have received God's blessings, we go now to be blessings to others. Amen. Thank you for joining us this morning.